2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. KSL News Time is now 5 o'clock, and today, what is today? Today happens to be Tuesday. It's the 26th day of October. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. Right now, downtown rain and 41 degrees.
The roads are soaked this morning. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
Our top story this hour.
Severe Utah weather.
Not just rain, the snow is coming down in the mountains right now, and the rain in the valleys could be here through this afternoon.
KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is out in the rain and joins us live with more. Mary?
Yeah, Amanda, it is pretty rainy and cold out here, pretty chilly, and there was a flooding warning from the National Weather Service to watch for ponding or standing water on the freeways and those streets that dip. The gutters, in fact, as I drive around, neighborhoods are full of leaves, and so that water is kind of piling up in the streets. The canyons look rough right now. Lots of snow from the traffic cameras showing in the Cottonwood Canyons. Seems to be mainly high elevation snow. Park City, Kimball Junction, still primarily wet at this point. There is some snow on some of the roadways, like at Cove Fort and I-15, I-70. Junction, and that snow level could drop into a rain-snow mix into the lower elevations as the rain slowly tapers off in the early afternoon. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
Utah isn't the only place facing severe weather today. On the East Coast, a big storm is going to bring a lot of rain, and people are being told to prepare for flooding.
The first nor'easter of the season taking aim at millions along the East Coast, with 8 inches of rain and winds up to 60 miles per hour. New York and New Jersey declaring states of emergency. Flood alerts in effect from the New Jersey shore to Boston.
ABC's Mona Kosar Abdi reporting.
Utah's changing climate. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Continuing our series now on the Great Salt Lake and how the shrinking lake impacts our local ecosystem. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt asked the question, is there anything we can do to help the lake other than just hope for more storms like the one we're getting today?
Biology professor Dr. Bonnie Baxter has been studying the Great Salt Lake for two decades now.
So we've been sounding the alarms because of some of the things we've seen this year, some of the impact on biology in particular.
Dr. Baxter is director of the Great Salt Lake Institute at Westminster College and says the low levels are threatening that biology as well as the economy.
I think a lot of people maybe don't realize how many jobs, thousands of jobs that are created by Great Salt Lake in the brine shrimp industry, in the mineral extraction industry.
It might affect the ski industry down the road too, not to mention the potentially toxic dust floating around. University of Utah Associate Professor Dr. Kevin Perry says the top solution is to get more water to the lake.
Rio Tinto Kennecott Copper Corporation actually just donated 21,000 acre feet of water to the Great Salt Lake. And it's the first transfer of water to the Great Salt Lake in the history of our state.
Doctors Perry and Baxter say some lawmakers are working on proposals for the upcoming legislative session to help get even more water to the lake. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
Prosecutors say the damage done by a man who used his position with the Salt Lake City Police Department to aid a prostitution ring is, quote, beyond measure. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly is live with more. Heather?
Sounds like we'll need to get back to Heather in just a moment. First, our KSL top national stories this hour. An FDA advisory panel meets today to decide whether or not to authorize Pfizer's COVID vaccine for young children. ABC's Derek Dennis begins our team coverage.
It's a critical day for roughly 28 million children ages 5 to 11 in the U.S. FDA advisors considering whether Pfizer's COVID vaccine is effective and safe for that age group. Vote is expected late in the afternoon, and the White House is optimistic buying some 65 million Pfizer boosters or pediatric doses ahead of time and urging parents to make appointments with their child's doctor while also putting clinics and school districts on standby. Once the FDA makes its decision, the CDC and its director will have the final say. First shots into those young arms could start next week. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Continuing our team coverage on vaccines, New York City's largest police union is suing over the city's vaccine mandate, which requires all municipal workers to have received at least one COVID vaccine dose by November 1st.
Pushback over vaccine requirements continues. In New York City, thousands of city workers marching across the Brooklyn Bridge in protest of the city's COVID vaccine mandate.
ABC's Faith Abube reporting.
Two people are dead and four injured after a shooting at the largest shopping mall in Boise, Idaho. ABC's Megan Trevisian tells us the shooter was taken to the hospital after yesterday's shootout with police.
Mall security sent out alerts, sending shoppers running for cover inside stores while others huddled together outside. Authorities working with hospitals to notify victims' families. Investigators believe the shooter acted alone. The motive, right now, unclear.
Shoppers who were near the shooting say everyone just started running once the shots rang out, and it was difficult to figure out what was going on.
Let's go back to Heather Kelly now on that story with the Salt Lake City Police Department and the damage done by one man who used his position there to aid in a prostitution ring. Heather?
Well, Tim, the information technology employee, Patrick Driscoll, was charged with seven felony counts related to sex trafficking. KSL.com reports prosecutors may add even more charges, and they've asked Driscoll to be held without bail. According to charging documents, Driscoll accessed the names and phone numbers of undercover police officers who were investigating human trafficking crimes. He would also provide information on police operations occurring in areas where prostitution rings were in business. Prosecutors say Driscoll knowingly endangered the lives of countless law enforcement officers. Live, Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.